Good morning. And how is everyone this morning? Did you have a good week? Did God use you this past week? Did He place you in a situation where He was going to grow you? Where you had to perhaps depend upon Him like you've never depended upon Him in the past? I had a situation like that. I had to have a tooth taken out. And so I was depending upon the Lord for that as I looked up into that dentist's face. But He brought me through it, and I thank Him for that. And God is concerned about our growth, isn't He? Yeah. Yes. About your personal spiritual growth. He is concerned about that. And He's concerned about His church, growing His church. He wants to grow His church. God has a mindset of wanting to grow things. He wants the kingdom to invade the earth. And He will come back as He brings His kingdom. But He is a God of growth. So how do we know that He is a God of growth? Well, as we look into His Word, we see that He uses illustrations and metaphors that indicate He wants to grow things. For example, there is a farmer that Mark speaks about who plants a seed. He tills the ground and he plants the seed and he goes and he sleeps and there's days and there's nights and he gets up and there's the crop that has come up all by itself, it says in Mark chapter 4, verse 26. Because God gives the increase. And then there's the story of the talents, right? A man, he goes on a long journey and he gives his servants, he gives one servant 5 talents. He gives one servant 2 talents. He gives one servant 1 talent. And he goes away and he comes back and he gets with them and he asks them, "How did you do?" And the guy with the 5 talents, he invested it and he doubled. The guy with the 2, he doubled it. The guy with the 1, what does he say? He went and he buried it, right? And so the man that went on the long journey said, "You wicked and lazy servant." That's ominous, isn't it? See, God wants us to invest ourselves in His kingdom. He wants you to invest your talents, your gifts, because right now I'm looking at some of the most gifted people on the planet. Do you believe that about yourself? Do you believe that you are highly gifted? Because you are, and we're going to look at that a little later. But God is concerned about growing you and growing the church. And there's lots of different books, and I brought a stack of books here. Now, I'm not going to read through all those books, but there's a stack of books here. And I'm always amazed, as I looked in the store the other day, I counted well over 40 different titles on church growth. And then I went home, and I looked in my library, and I found these. And here's one called "What's a Healthy Church?" Here's "Your Spiritual Gifts Can Help Your Church Grow." "How to Break Church Growth Barriers." "Becoming a Healthy Church." "The Lay-Driven Church." "The Antioch Effect." 8 Characteristics of Highly Effective Churches." "The Turnaround Churches." "Eating the Elephant." How do you like that one? "Long-Term Growth for Your Church." "Taking Your Church to the Next Level." "What got you here won't get you there." "Biblical Growth." How you can work with God to build a faithful church. "The Missional Leader." Here's the book of church growth, something we all need, right? Here's effective church growth strategies. Here's natural church development. And here's teaching for spiritual growth. All different types of books that man has written to help us understand, how do you grow the church? Now, one of my favorite studies was done by a man, Christian Schwartz. He lives in Germany. And about 15 years ago, he studied 1,000 churches around the world. And he also has some consulting firms here in this nation. And since that time, he has studied well over 30,000 churches. And what they discovered was that there were 8 quality characteristics that when they are present in a church, that church is considered to be a healthy, growing church. Would you like to know what those 8 quality characteristics are? All right. You're listening. I heard you out there. That's awesome. Okay. He said, one of the characteristics is empowering leadership. If a church has leadership that helps other leaders grow and get involved in the body of Christ, that church is going to be a healthy church, and it's going to be a growing church. The next one is gift-oriented ministry. People plug into where God has given them a gift. And we're going to talk about that a little later, because we're going to see that the Apostle Paul, as we've been going through the book of Ephesians, he talks about gifts that Jesus has given to you. Do you believe that? Do you believe that if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, God has given you a gift? And do you know what your gift is? If I were to come out there with a microphone and go around and ask you, what is your gift? Could you tell me what your gift is? Many of us would say yes. Some would say, well, I'm not sure. And so we'll talk about how do you discover that gift? Because God wants you to take that gift and invest it in the body of Christ, because that's very important. So, number three is passionate spirituality. And this is in reference to prayer, having conversations with God. When conversations with God are going on and there is a passion for Christ and His work that will help God have the maximum opportunity to not only grow you, but grow the church. Number four is functional structures. These churches are organized to facilitate ministry. Number five is inspiring worship. It's a worship time that leads us into His presence and brings glory to Him. It's a time of worship that once we leave this place, we're anticipating next Sunday. And you look forward to next Sunday. What are we going to hear from God next Sunday? Holistic small groups, Sunday school classes, different kinds of small groups that meet real live human needs. People are free to share what's really on their heart in the context of a small group. Could be any kind of small group. But you're free and you trust that situation to share what's on your heart, and people pray for you. Holistic small groups. The next one is need-oriented evangelism. There's evangelism going on. There is missions going on. And this is the kind of evangelism that is meeting needs. In other words, there's a car show going on out there. That's an opportunity to meet some needs out there and share the gospel. It's looking outside. What are the needs and how can we meet those needs and share the gospel of Jesus Christ? And the last one is loving relationships. Loving relationships. Relationships in the church that are loving. You know, there's a church in the Bible that God gives us a glimpse into, the church at Jerusalem, that has these characteristics operating. Just look with me for just a second in Acts chapter 2, and we can see these very characteristics surfacing in the scriptures here. And it says in Acts chapter 2, verse 41, Peter has just gotten done preaching a message. And in verse 41, it says, God adds 3,000 souls in one day. Now, what would we do here if God all of a sudden adds 3,000 souls? That would be amazing. I'm not sure we'd know quite what to do. So there was evangelism going on. The gospel is going out. Then they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. So there was discipleship going on. There was life change going on. There was fellowship. There was the idea of people in groups sharing with one another. There's prayers going on. There is a passionate spirituality. Then in verse 45, it says they sold their possessions and they were meeting needs. There was ministry going on. And then it says in verse 47, they were praising God and they were having favor with man, with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. God added to the church daily those who were being saved. Isn't that amazing? That's a healthy church. That's a church that God has maximum opportunity to get involved, in your life, and God begins to work through you. And so the Apostle Paul lays out for us in chapter 4, verses 7 through 16, and that's where we're going to be. He lays out for us God's strategic plan, because we always think about, well, we need to have a strategic plan to get things going. Well, God has already given us one in the book of Ephesians. And as we look at this, we're going to see that it's based upon the victory that we have in Christ. because Christ gives us the victory. Christ gives us success. Christ gives us a sense of stability. Christ gives us a sense of satisfaction. And so when you begin to use your gift in the body of Christ, you'll begin to experience those things in your life like never before. And I'm sure if you were to ask any volunteers in this church why you do what you do, they would tell you it's a deep sense of satisfaction that only God can give. There's no other way that that happens. And so in verse 7, Paul begins and he begins to unfold. He begins to unfold God's strategic plan to grow the church. And it's based upon, as we saw last week, unity. In chapter 4, verses 1 through 6, there was unity. Without the unity in the church, God cannot move in a spectacular way and begin to mature you and grow the church. So it's based upon that unity. And then Paul says in verse 7, but to each of us grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and he gave gifts to men. And as Paul's writing this, the Holy Spirit lays upon his heart Psalm 68. And if you go back and read Psalm 68, you'll see that it is a psalm of celebration and victory. It's the kind of thing when a king went into a city and conquered it, he would bring back the spoils, and they'd have a parade, kind of like what's been going on out here. This parade of cars. And there's an atmosphere of celebration. There's an atmosphere of victory because of what Jesus Christ has done. He has led captivity captive. He has taken us who have been captive to sin, and he has taken us captive because we are, Paul said, I'm a prisoner of Jesus Christ. And he has taken us captive by the redemptive work of the cross of Jesus Christ. And now he gives gifts. And it's a time of celebration. Because he has set us free. He has set us free. He has crossed the goal line. He has set us free from the power of sin. Let's give him a praise offering for that. Let's praise God for that. This is a celebration. This is a celebration. He hasn't only set us free from the power of sin. He has set us free from the power of death. Amen. Let's praise him for that. Raise your voice. Look, Tennessee just scored a touchdown. They're much louder than we are. He has set us free from the power of death. He has set us free from the power of demonic forces. Praise God. Give him a praise offering. This is a celebration. Jesus Christ, he ascended. He set us free. Colossians 2:15, it says, having disarmed principalities and powers, he made public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. And then he goes on to say, now this, he ascended. What does it mean that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens that he might fill all things. Jesus Christ is the victor. He died on a cross, he rose again, and he set us free. And he fills us with his Holy Spirit, and he distributes his gifts. And there's a phrase there that says, into the lower parts of the earth. That's a scripture that has basically three different interpretations. The first one is it refers to his incarnation. That God became man. And he took on the form of a slave. And he emptied himself, but he still was God, and he was fully man. He's the only God-man. He's the only one that could have done what he did to set us free at the cross of Jesus Christ. And then it refers to the fact that perhaps he went down into the realm of Hades and then he blew a hole up into heaven. Then it refers perhaps to the fact that he died and he was buried in the grave and he rose again on the third day. All those are fine. The point is, he was raised, and he's the victor, and he's your victor, and he gives us success. He gives us success in Christ Jesus. That's the only place you're going to find success. You're not going to find success anywhere else, because I hesitated using that word success because it has so many different connotations. Success in reference to the world and all that sort of thing, that's not what it's about. It's about having success in Christ Jesus, period. Amen. To walk free in Him. And He gives you a gift. And so the growth of the church is based upon the victory that we have in Christ Jesus and who we are in Christ. That His life becomes fully your life. And so then He gives gifts. And I wish we could just imagine Him just pouring out the gifts. And we begin to unwrap them. And we begin to see which one He gave us. Some of us have a combination of them. Sometimes God gifts you for a particular mission and service, and then when that's over, it's over. But He gives you a gift. Do you know what your gift is? Do you know what your gift is? I would challenge you to discover your gift. And I believe after the service, we have a spiritual gift questionnaire that you can take and get an idea of what your gift might be. That's one way to do it. Another way to do it is to get involved. You might think you have a particular gift, the gift of service, and so you get involved in a particular area of the church. And as you're doing that, it's not quite right. Something doesn't feel quite right. It kind of wears you out. Well, that might not be your area of gifting. And so you move to another area. Paul speaks about here speaking the truth in love. So if that's not your area, then perhaps you need to tell somebody and say, hey, I need to move to somewhere else because this is wearing me out. Now, if you get involved in an area that it is your gifting, you will feel energized. And there'll be a sense of deep satisfaction. And you will grow spiritually because you can't grow spiritually outside of participating in the body of Christ. Have any of you tried to do that? There are times in my life I've tried to grow outside of really being involved in the church, and it's not the same. It's the body of Christ where He begins to mature us spiritually, mentally, emotionally. All these different ways that you and I have needs, He uses the body of Christ and the gifts that He's given the church. So the body has everything you need. The body of Christ has everything. He's equipped us fully. And that is truly an amazing thing. And so, He gave some to be apostles. Now, as I was looking at the gifts, there's several different areas in the Scripture that the gifts are listed. Ephesians 4, Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12. But here He outlines some of the foundational gifts: apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. These are the kind of gifts that are for enabling of the saints. In other words, they help you do the ministry. The apostle, he's the guy, the mission-oriented fella. He has like the big picture is the sense of the apostle. Now, there were the 12 apostles, and really this gift was their gift. But it's in the sense of somebody who has the big picture. They see the big mission. And we need those people in the body of Christ, don't we? We need people to help us see the big mission. Then the prophet is somebody who communicates. And when you're listening to a prophet, you know how you know you're listening to a prophet? Because there'll be a deep sense of conviction of sin in your life. Isn't that awesome? Don't you love to be convicted of sin? I mean, really? Really? I mean, that is a good thing, right? It's a good thing because, you know, you have to understand, you have to see the sin in your life so you can confess it and be cleansed of it and walk free from it in the power of the Holy Spirit of God in the cross. That is what it's all about. And so when someone has this gift of prophet, that's what you'll sense. And they can also be very domineering and controlling too. So they have to be spirit-filled. And it's a gift. It's a gift God has given to the church because you know why? You and I need to be convicted of sin. Amen? We really do. The evangelist shares the gospel. People get saved. Ever been around an evangelist? Gift of evangelism? No matter what they do, what they say, people just accept the gospel. It's an amazing thing. It's an amazing gift. Now, we all have a responsibility to share the gospel, but somebody with this gift, God just uses them in amazing ways. Then there's the pastor. It's the long-term care of the body of believers. They lead, feed, guard, and protect you. We need that gift. You know, some of you have a gift of pastor, and you won't ever be a pastor of a church. Isn't that awesome? But you know how to care for people and feed people. See, this is how God has set it up. We don't hire the staff to do the ministry. We hire the staff to equip us so you can do the ministry. If there's an area of the church you want to learn about, let us know so we can teach you how to do the ministry. This is how God set it up. This is His plan. It's not my plan, not your plan. This is how God set it up. This is how it works. This is how God has opportunity to grow the church. So then there's exhortation. And this is really the gift of counseling, right? There are people in the body here that have a gift of exhortation, counseling, comfort, and they help people become free in Christ. We need to find out who those people are. And if you need help, go talk with them, and they will help you. Gift of wisdom helps you to know the mind of the Spirit and apply it. The gift of knowledge, it accumulates information to discover and analyze and clarify things for the growth of the body. Then there's the gift of service, and the service gifts get oriented toward doing things, getting the job done. And some of you have those gifts. We need those gifts. The body needs those gifts. Service, ministry, giving. We need people with the gift of giving, right? People who have that just gift, and usually God gives them the ability to make sometimes lots of money, and they can give that money away. We all need to be giving our money away, but these people have that special ability. And it's a gift of God. Leading, people who know how to set goals, build a team, managing, the gift of administration. These are people who understand the immediate and the long-term goals. They devise plans and they execute those plans. They know how to get the job done. They can see the big picture, but then all of a sudden they begin to raise the little flags that goes, well, what about this? What about that? How are we going to get this done? How are we going to do that? We need those people, right? Because sometimes you can have a goal that's very, very, very lofty and very noble, but how are you going to get it done? You need those people. You need the gift of mercy. This is someone who feels the pain of other people deeply, and they know how to relieve it. My wife has the gift of mercy, and she's used that on me. Praise God. It's a gift of mercy. You ever been around someone with the gift of mercy? It's amazing. It's amazing what they can do. We need those people in the body. The gift of faith, people that have a deep faith. Discernment, the gift of discernment. You need the gift of discernment because it helps you to know what is human, what is of God, and what is demonic. These people can discern when God is present and when He is not. They can discern whether or not it's just human flesh. It's just man's plan. It's not God's plan. They can discern that. And there's the gift of helps. These people invest their abilities in helping someone else be successful. Isn't that awesome? They might see somebody in the body and they say, I need to help that person become successful in the body, so I'm going to help them so their gift that God has given them becomes even greater. And then there are the sign gifts, healing, miracles, languages, interpretation of languages. And these are the gifts that we all know, different interpretations and so forth of that, whether or not they're active or not today. Gift of languages, I believe, is known languages. I believe that gift is active in certain situations and contexts. But God has given the body gifts, and He's given you a gift to use for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So He matures us in the process of you discovering your gift that He has given you, and then you begin to use it in the body of Christ. See, this is all about you. It's about Him. It's about you. It's about how God set up His church, how He has equipped His church to use the gifts that He's given them to the measure, the stature, the fullness of Christ. Jesus is the benchmark. You know, sometimes when I look at my own life, my own spiritual growth, and I look at Jesus, there's always a gap, isn't there? There's always a distance here's Jesus and here's me and this is what I did in that situation, and it probably wasn't what Jesus would have done. He's the benchmark. You see, He shows us, especially when we're under pressure and stress, the flesh will come out. Amen? And you all have it. I have it. But by the power of the cross, the flesh has been crucified. It's a daily thing, moment by moment, to be filled with His Spirit. The Spirit against the flesh, Paul tells us, and the flesh wars against the Spirit. If you're a believer in Christ, we all have that war that we gain victory over in Christ as we realize our own death, burial, and resurrection in Christ, and He's raised us to walk in newness of life. He's our benchmark, and He matures us. Never stop having a desire to grow spiritually. Never stop having a desire to grow spiritually. And you do that by investing your gift in the body of Christ. If He has placed you in this body, you have a gift that He wants to use. That we should no longer be children tossed to and fro. He gives us stability. Don't we all need stability? In a culture that produces so much change and discontinuity in our lives, we never know what's going to happen next. You know, we're celebrating 9/11. I was watching some of that last night. And it was on the History Channel. And it was live video cam that they had put together. And I just looked at that, and people were just puzzled, and they were wondering what was happening, and they couldn't believe it. And we live in a culture that bombards us with these situations that make us anxious, and we have a sense of instability. But that's not what God gives us. He gives us a sense of stability. And we gain that sense of stability as we invest our lives in His body. He gives us that. That's a gift that He gives. And only Jesus could do that. Only Jesus. That we should no longer be tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, the deception of men, and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. You're able to detect fraud, something that's not quite right. Someone's trying to lead you in a particular direction, and you begin to sense that because you're living in the victory that you have in Christ, that He gives. But you're speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things unto Him who is the head, Christ. The head, Christ. The church at Colossae, they were losing sight of this. They were being led astray. And that's why Paul wrote the book to the Colossians. In chapter 2, verse 19, Paul says to that church, and not holding fast to the head, he was warning them, you better hold fast to the head, from whom the whole body, nourished, knit together by joints and ligaments, grows with the increase that is from God. That word grows there is the idea of an inward growth. You see, God cares about your spiritual growth, that you grow spiritually. And He's going to use all different ways to do that. He uses the church. One other way he does this is in the home, right? The home is the first discipleship group that God put together. And I would say, living the Christian faith in the home is the hardest place to live it. Amen? Because that's where we let our hair down. And living it there in the power of the Spirit of God. It's okay, you know, to have church and Sunday school and ask God to visit. We should be asking God to visit my home. Fill my home with the Spirit of God. Because the home is the building block for the body, is how God set it up. And so He wants to grow us by speaking the truth in love. Speak the truth in love. Boy, that is an amazing thing, to speak the truth to somebody and say, man, I love you. I'm gonna give you some feedback. And you begin to pray about that. What's going to happen? Are they going to get defensive? Are they going to receive it? It's in love. It's honest. You know, in the body of Christ, that's what we need to be doing. Speaking the truth to one another in love. In love. In that sacrificial sense of, I'm here to look out for your interests as well. It's the body of Christ. It's what God set up. It's God's invention. This is God's plan to grow it. Then he says, from whom the whole body, joined, knit together And he begins to echo Colossians. By whatever joint supplies, according to the effective working is the idea of spiritual power that comes from God that flows through each and every one of us, by which every part does its share. Isn't that awesome? Every part does its share. And as you get involved, you have that deep sense of satisfaction. But every part is meaning, I'm looking out at all these faces. And God says, every one of you, from the front to the back, front to the back, front to the back, has a part to play in this body. As God begins to stir you, you know, I think there's somewhere in when they were rebuilding the wall, Nehemiah, I think somewhere there it says that God gave them a spirit to work. Isn't that awesome? God gave them the spirit to go to work. It's not a duty. It's not a legalistic thing. It's not gaining favor with God. It's based upon who you are in Christ and your love for Jesus that Paul says, every part does its share. And this is what it does. Look at the next phrase. Every part does its share. Causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. In one little verse summarizes all these books. One little verse Paul wrote down, inspired by the Holy Spirit of God, summarizes all that we have put on paper. From whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies. See, God knits it, builds it, fits it together like a puzzle. Ever put a puzzle together? Throw out all the pieces, they're helter-skelter, they're all over the place. Then you come up with a plan, you begin to put the edges. Is that what you do? You guys do that? Edges first. And you begin to piece it together, and you get the boundary, and then you begin to look for what is like and what is not like, and piece it and part it, and you piece it all together. That's what God does with the church. At first, we're kind of all helter-skelter. He calls us out by the gospel of Jesus Christ. We accept His Son. He brings us together. And He begins to piece us together. He's given us gifts. And before you know it, He's pieced us all together. And we look at the puzzle. And what do we see? We see the face of God in the puzzle. And that is what That is God's way to do it. As each of you, as God begins to give you and raise you up one at a time, might take tomorrow, might take 2 years, might take 5 years, I don't know. But God will raise you up. He'll begin to piece you into it all. And then the world will look at the church, and you know what they'll see? They will see Jesus Christ in the flesh. They will see the Word become flesh in your life. That's what they will see. That's what our culture needs. Our culture needs it desperately. Our culture, the people out there who don't know Him, they need your gift to be active in the body, because then they can see Jesus in here and out there. And it builds itself up, the growth of the body, edifying, building itself up, In love. And then you begin to see how the church grows. And you can measure it in different ways. There will be kingdom advance. The kingdom will be advanced. There'll be souls added. There will be ministry expansion. In other words, somebody here might see a need out there and say, I need to meet that need. God equips you, and the church supports you, and a ministry is birthed that meets a need in the community. And God begins to send out these tentacles all over the region. And they begin to see Jesus working in this place. There'll be spiritual transformation. Lives will be changed. You should be different. God should have changed something about you for being here. And they will begin to see Him as you become totally involved in His strategic plan. It's His. It's not mine. It's not yours. It's His. It's all His. I was going to say something else and I forgot the phone intervention. And that's okay. That's okay. So as we close here today, again, it's a time of invitation. It's a time of making a decision. And I really believe God is working in your life, in your heart, for you to really get serious about what is my gift? What is the gift God has given me that He wants me to invest in His kingdom, in the local body, in this body, now? What is it? So if you're serious about that and you want to come to the altar and pray, or maybe God has convicted you of some sin you want to pray, or maybe you've never placed your faith in Jesus Christ and the finished work, and He's convicted you of just the sin of unbelief, that you realize that if you were to die right now, you would go to hell and spend eternity in a place of conscious torment. And you need Him. If you do, you come. However God is moving, or there may be something you're here visiting and God has placed something upon your heart that back home, I need to go do this. Whatever it is, whatever God is prompting you to do, I would encourage you to obey. Don't quench the Spirit's work in your heart and in your life. Allow Him to work. Father, we thank You for Your grace and Your mercy. For without that, I could not stand here, Father. And Lord, we've thought through a lot of things this morning about Your church, this body. And Father, I pray that You're planting seeds. You're planting seeds like the farmer. And we'll go to bed. There'll be nights, and there'll be days, and there'll be nights, and there'll be days. But Lord, I know that some of those are going to start sprouting. And we're going to look at it, and it's going to be all by itself. And it's going to be You. As Paul said, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gives the increase. And we'll see that this increase is occurring because of Your grace and Your mercy and the victory that we have, the celebration that we have in Jesus, the gifts that He has given us, the satisfaction He gives when we operate in those gifts, the stability that He gives us when we operate in the body of Christ, the maturity that He sends to us that we all desperately need until we see You face to face. Father, we thank You so much for speaking through Your word. We thank You so much. In Jesus' name, amen.